Hello, friends. Welcome to this service, the fifth Sunday of Easter. It is a communion Sunday, and if you've been here before, you'll know that we do a couple of different things on communion days. One of them is that we acknowledge the land upon which we are free to worship by the grace of the Qualicum First Nation. So please hear this land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. If you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either crackers or bread and some wine or juice, please do that now so that when the time comes for the great Thanksgiving, you can just participate seamlessly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call to worship. When we cannot see the path, Jesus is the way. When we cannot trust the voices we hear, Jesus is the truth. When it feels like darkness is overwhelming, Jesus is the life. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Come, let us worship the Lord of light and life. He has made a place for us all. Thanks be to God. And if you light a candle when you come to worship, let's do that together as I light the Christ candle here. With thankful hearts, let us pray. With thanks and praise for all you have done and are doing in our hearts and lives, we come humbly into your presence today, Jesus. You have redeemed us by your sacrifice and are restoring us to a right relationship with God through your Holy Spirit. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Let our lives reflect your love as we worship you. All praise, honor, and glory are yours, O High King of Heaven. Amen. During today's prayer of confession, there is a time of silence in which you can offer up your own petitions to God. Let's pray together. Generous Maker, merciful Saviour, you are worthy of all our praise. Yet sometimes, Lord, we are tongue-tied and shy, reticent to give voice to our experience of the holy. Forgive us, God, when we have hidden the light of your love under a basket. Have mercy on us for the times when we have left things unsaid that needed to be spoken. Gracious God, hear our silent prayers as we confess those things that separate us from you and from each other. And we continue. Forgive us and grant us the grace to begin again, to live in the way of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews reminds us that in his death, Jesus has cleared the way for us so that we can come to God in full confidence that we are presentable to him inside and out. So come, knowing that God's arms are open wide and he welcomes you in love. Come knowing that because of Christ, there is nothing that can get in the way between you and God. Come because God wants you to know his deep and abiding love for you. This is our gospel. This is the good news that we have in Christ. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. As this is a communion Sunday, we will say together our creed. This month we are saying the new creed. Please join me in that. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
So, honestly, this week was one of those times when I looked at the preaching plan and wondered what on earth I had been thinking when I picked this passage 3 months ago. Not because there's anything wrong with it, quite the opposite. It's absolutely packed with great verses, each one of which could give rise to many sermons on their own. let alone the whole of them all packed together in one reading. My problem was actually what to pick. It's a bit like being at a fabulous buffet. You know that you do not have room to try everything. So what do you pick? And what do you leave for another time? Well, for better or for worse, this week I opted for us to focus on what is perhaps the best known verse from this reading, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So today, let's explore that one. Let's explore it within the context of the night Jesus first said it. And then we will draw from that to see how it has guided the church since our earliest days and how it continues to offer us essential guidance as we follow Jesus today. So that's our plan for this morning. Now, I must confess that I did hesitate a bit before I landed firmly on this verse. I did so because, sadly, these words sometimes get thrown around as weapons to prove, often to people of other faiths, that we Christians have the market cornered when it comes to holiness and the things of God. Now, I absolutely take Jesus at his words in this verse, but I am not sure that using them in that way was what he had in mind when he shared them with his first followers on that night. And that's actually really important for us to remember, because before we can use this verse to draw any conclusions about what Jesus is saying to us, we need to first discern what he was saying to the people he first said it to, his disciples who were gathered with him for what would be their last supper together. They were together, and it would be the last night they were with him before he was crucified. And they were troubled by everything he was saying was about to happen. Here at the beginning of chapter 14, he begins to comfort them and to prepare them. He urges them not to let their hearts be troubled, because while he was leaving them for a time, they could take comfort and strength from all that they had learned and experienced over the past 3 years that they'd been with him. He'd given them everything they would need to guide them into the future, and he wanted them to know that. Now, it's obvious by the questions that Thomas and Philip asked him that they were not convinced of this. They wanted to go with Jesus wherever he was going. But as Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus explains that they actually do know the way. He says, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he goes on to explain to them that in coming to know him, they've also been coming to know God the Father. Now, I'm fairly sure that they had no idea what he was talking about yet. But within just a few weeks, with the help of the Holy Spirit, they would start to put the pieces together. Theologically, yes, we believe that through his death and resurrection, Jesus has made the way for us to come to God. And that is one aspect to how he is the way. But there is more to it than just that. And the more is really, really important, and it's actually what I want us to focus on today. Because long before he died, in his life, Jesus has shown us the way to God, the truth of God, and the life that God has always been inviting us to. He'd been showing his first disciples all of this every single day that he had been with them. Throughout his life, he had literally embodied it all. He'd embodied the way that we can all come to know and experience God. He had embodied the truth of who and how God really is. And he had embodied the life that we can all have with God if we want to pursue it. So when Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he really meant it. Because when they were with Jesus, his friends and followers had been able to see and experience that way, that truth, and that life with God firsthand. So after he was gone, they just needed to put all they had learned and experienced while they were with him into practice and follow in that same way themselves, in the way of Jesus. Well, we actually gather today because that's exactly what they did. And we know from the rest of the New Testament that through them all, Jesus' way spread and the church was born. In the stories from Acts and in the letters of the New Testament, we hear about life in and around the early church. And we get a sense of how the disciples' lives became centered around living in this same way that they had seen Jesus live. So much so that they began to be referred to as people of the way. And they even began to call themselves followers of the way. The term Christian actually didn't even exist until some years after the church began. And it wasn't Jesus' followers that came up with it. It was the people in the city of Antioch. They were watching as the church grew and impacted their city. And they came up with it. They started calling those followers of the way Christians because it was a word that meant that they were people who literally, obviously belonged to Christ. Well, today, I'm afraid the word Christian seems to have accumulated quite a bit of baggage. Too much of that baggage actually has nothing to do with the way of Jesus. And one wonders if maybe we might be wise to recover that old phrase and once again refer to ourselves as people of the way instead. Well, whether I choose to say that I am a Christian or I am a follower of the way, I still need to make sure that my life actually exhibits what I'm claiming. I need to follow in the way of Jesus, to embody the same kinds of things that we see him embodying throughout his life. Because that's what makes a difference in the world. That's what convinces people that all Jesus said is true and that he really is worth following. And that's what actually makes it possible for us all to begin to experience that wonderful and compelling life that he embodied and shared with his first disciples. The life that God promises us, a life I know I long for. When Jesus said, "I am the way," he really, really meant it. Well, the story of that early church in that city of Antioch is actually a wonderful example itself of this dynamic happening. A few years after Jesus' death and resurrection, things started to get pretty rough for his followers in Jerusalem. People were being killed for following in his way, and many, many people fled the city. A good number of them made their way about 700 kilometers north to Antioch. It was a very large city, and it was known for its wealth and its incredible diversity. Antioch was often referred to as all the world in one city. It was an international city in the ancient world. Well, as with most ancient cities, there was a wall around the outside of Antioch. And within it, there were more walls that segregated the different neighborhoods, and each one was home to one people group or another. Well, as the followers of the way settled into that city, they continued to live in the same ways that Jesus had lived, with humility with compassion, and with love for all their new neighbors. And of course, as they did that, things started to happen. People became curious about this Jesus and his way, and they came together to see for themselves. Well, as they did that, barriers between those diverse communities began to be broken down. Neighbors started to get to know each other. And even more, they began to experience the richness of the life in Jesus' way together. The early church really redefined community in that city, a community that had previously been so divided, both literally and figuratively. Walls became irrelevant as barriers and divisions dissolved and people came together to learn about and experience Jesus' way. And it was obvious to all who were watching that this Christ and his ways of compassion and humility and love, that he was the driving force behind it all. Well, as we think about this one verse today and what it has meant for disciples of Jesus throughout the last 2,000 years, now in just these last few moments, let's turn to what it means for us today. We know all too well that we are living in a time when our world actually seems to be pretty divided. And it seems to me that while people have always held their own ideas about things, now we seem to be under this illusion that we cannot possibly come together with those who think differently than we do. And even worse, we seem to have completely forgotten how to engage in real and respectful conversation with people who think differently than we do. We think we are right and they are wrong, and so what is the point of talking? Even worse, what is the point of listening? None of that seems to be anything like the way that Jesus embodied and taught. None of it seems to get anywhere near the humility and the compassion and the love that were so much at the heart of the early church in places like Antioch and beyond. In too many ways today, our world feels much more like what I think it might have been like in Antioch before Jesus' followers brought his way to their community. Divided. Separate. Well, friends, if the way of Jesus was able to change things in Antioch and throughout the ancient Near East, if the way of Jesus has done what it has done in communities around the world in the centuries since, then I think that the way of Jesus might really be the hope for fixing the divisions that are plaguing our world today, and even more, ending the destruction that those divisions give rise to. So what if we really tried? What if we were determined to embody this way of Jesus ourselves? By being people who believe in the importance of coming together in humility and in compassion and mostly in love. What if instead of insulating ourselves from people who we think are so different than we are, what if each of us became determined to reach out, to intentionally come together with our neighbors, to learn from each other, to find things to respect about each other, to truly care about the well-being of each other? What if we truly tried to follow in that compassionate, humble, and loving way of Jesus today? What kind of reconciliation and healing and peace might be possible? What kind of life might we get to see emerge? My friends, we are followers of the way. So let's live in his way. And let's be part of him bringing the life he has promised to our neighbors, to our communities, and to our world. Amen.
Good morning. As I was preparing my thoughts for the prayers this morning, I realized that most of my prayers are time spent in a conversation with God as I go about my daily functions, working in the yard, exploring nature, taking photographs. Often personal in nature, these conversations tend to wander, and a lot of time is spent in silence, just listening. The prayers of the people that we offer at the United Church are petitions on behalf of all of God's creation, not focused simply on our own lives, so somewhat different than my personal musings. As we prepare to offer prayers of the people this morning, the process I'll be using is one of identifying where we're focusing our prayers and then granting some time for silence for each of you to pray your deepest desires in that area. I think having many voices reaching out to God on a Sunday morning from our congregation is a great way to go. Let us pray. Good morning, God. Your children here at St. Stephen's are gathered today to worship you. As we do, we know that you are here to listen and to respond to the prayers we offer to you on behalf of your creation and all your children on this amazing planet. God of love, we are so grateful to live with you in this amazing garden that you created and are creating, but we know that over all this earth, we have not tended the garden as well as we should or could have, and that it's in trouble. We ask that you show us how to regain the beauty that you created and to help all of our children to learn to respect and love the earth with all that you have created. We know that with your creating love and guidance, we'll be able to refresh and restore your garden here on earth. Lord, hear our prayers. God of hope, we are so thankful for the work of all your disciples who have developed and are currently leading the worldwide church, as well as your church here in Oceanside. We know that we've not always followed Jesus' teachings of how to be worshiping community focused on love and respect for you, God, but we also know that with your guidance and the hope that you will provide everyone, we will see the light that they need to improve their relationship with you. God, we ask you to share your blessings, wisdom, and hope with all of the leaders of your church, both around the world and right here at St. Stephen's, as they work to share your grace with anyone and everyone who is willing and open to hearing of your love and hope. Lord, hear our prayers. God of grace, we ask that you bring your love and grace to all of the people who are troubled by war, famine, and natural disasters, that they may feel your presence and be filled with your love. We also ask that you bring healing and comfort to the many who suffer from physical abuse, addictions, and mental and physical health issues, who need your love and healing to repair their lives. Lord, we bring forward to you for your blessing all of those of your children who are trying to bring peace, comfort, and health to the many in the world who are unable to do so for themselves. Lord, we ask that you bring peace to the world and health and safety to all caregivers and wisdom and caring to the political leaders all over the world. Lord, hear our prayers. Amazing God, we are so thankful for the many kindnesses that you have shared with each of us. We all have many personal fears and concerns that we know you can guide us through and that you will always be there when we reach out to you. Lord, we thank you for the amazing love and care that you so freely share with your children. Keep us joyful and committed to serve your mission here and around the world as we live as partners in your amazing story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. Almighty One, it is truly right to glorify you and to give you thanks, for you alone are God, living and true, dwelling in light inaccessible from before time and forever. Fountain of all life and source of all goodness, you made all things and fill them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we glorify your name and we lift our voices in joyful praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent to save us. He came with healing in his touch and was wounded for our sins. He came with mercy in his voice and was mocked as one despised. He came with peace in his heart and met with violence and death. By your power, he broke free from the prison of the tomb. The one who was dead now lives. The one who was humbled himself is raised to rule over all creation, the Lamb upon the throne. The one ascended on high is with us always, as he promised. At his last supper, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen. Now let's pray together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements in the places where you are.
I overcome.
having shared in this meal together, now let's say together our prayer after communion. Holy, gracious God, here at this table, your promise of life is made tangible. We have rested in the depth of your love. We have tasted your nourishing, nurturing presence. We accept you into our bodies, into our lives. Together at this table, you have offered us life. Together by your grace, we accept the life you offer, and we give you thanks. In the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Saint Stephen's, we are truly grateful for the ways in which you give to the mission and work of God through this congregation. Please join me in prayer as we offer these gifts back to the Lord for his purposes. Holy and generous God, accept these gifts that they might make it possible for us and others to be your hands and feet in the world. Accept our lives that we might give voice to your love for all creation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, go in peace to love and care for those who are brought into your lives in the name and the way of Jesus. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you peace. Amen.
When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life find you. May the winds of the Spirit guide you across the ocean of all your days. May the seeds of your love, your life, adorn the way. When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life find you. May the winds of the Spirit across the ocean of all your days. May the seeds of your love, your life, adorn the way. When you go from this place, be true. May the blessing of life of your days. May the seeds of your